My name is Michael Coates. I'm a former firefighter, but I'm also a former soldier. And it's the stories from the individuals within this military community that I'm desperate to document. As a little girl, our next guest was sexually abused by an adult she trusted. She was rescued by her soldier husband, only to later suffer domestic violence caused by his PTSD. The bravest person we have ever spoke to. She has gone to hell and back whilst keeping the family unit together. Episode 16, Amanda Jones. This is Declassified. So you were born in 1987.
Yeah.
When childhood initially was good.
Really good.
Like it was nice and safe and secure.
Yeah.
And,
what I remember.
Yeah. It's funny because when we're young, we can kind of memory gets jaded and we don't always remember the intricacies of it all. But I always remember feeling safe and secure, being a really little one, you know, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah.
Was that like that for you?
Yeah, yeah. I had a nice brother growing up.
Yeah.
Nice mum.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice family home.
Whereabouts was you?
In Hartlepool.
So that's the accent. So you moved about a little bit though, didn't you, from there? Like,
yes.
You was out and about.
Yes, so I was in Hartlepool, and then we moved to Germany.
So that's when you first met Sean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went to school with Sean.
How old was you when you first met?
About 9. Don't really remember him though. I don't. Not until like a bit later. We went to bigger school together.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the first encounter.
Yeah.
I was quite nervous about this section now.
Yeah, okay.
Or this part of it. And you just take your time and yeah. I might mumble through it as well. But when you was about 10 and 11, you started getting sexually abused.
Yeah.
Do you remember when it first started?
Yeah. I remember the first bit. The first... how it happened. How it first started. Yeah.
It's delicate, you know, and one of the first times you've spoken about it, especially like this.
Yeah, because nobody knows, really. Yeah. Like, obviously he knows and my family know, but not many other people know.
What was the effects on your childhood?
It wasn't just, like, the sexual abuse, it was the mental abuse as well.
Mm.
Like, I would get ignored and I'd almost be begging for his attention, like, he wouldn't speak to me. And that was worse. Like the mental abuse making me feel like I've done something wrong when I hadn't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
Do you know, I spent my whole entire childhood at that point trying to please that one person so that the repercussions on other people in my family wouldn't be that bad. Like it would almost be like a bit of blackmail.
Did you realise at the time that that's what was happening? Like it was emotional blackmail?
No, like I used to get things like presents and... things like that, you know, and the whole time he was just living out his fantasies on me. It's hard to talk about, isn't it? But, like, things would happen and I'd think, well, why isn't the other person realising that this person's not there?
Mm. Did it go on throughout?
Oh, quite a while, yeah. Until I finally had the balls to... Well, no, I didn't, actually. Another family member asked me if something was going on.
Mm.
And then my candidate denied it at first because I didn't know what to say.
Was the abuse happening daily or weekly? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, every day.
Sexual?
Every day. Yeah, every day. He would do something. But it was my nan of that. She was the one that said, come and sleep at my house tonight.
How old was you when you did that?
Oh, God. I reckon about 13, 14.
Oh, so still
so,
quite
yeah, still,
young.
Yeah.
And this had been going on young, for, what, yeah? three years?
Quite
like
a long
that.
Time, yeah.
Yeah. Did it become normal?
Mm-hmm. It was completely normal.
Hmm.
Yeah. But I obviously still suffer the mental part, side of it. Like, if people ignore me, if I walk into a room, they don't even have to know me. If I walk into a room and somebody doesn't say hello, I instantly feel like I've done something wrong to them and that I need to make an extra effort to them.
Hmm. Did you see anyone? Have you, we're fast forwarding a lot now,
yeah.
But have you had therapy about this?
Not
at the time?
Not at the time, no, because it all got brushed under the carpet when it came out. I didn't get believed.
Mm.
So it got brushed under the carpet. I don't know if I got believed or not. I did go to the police, but I got asked to change my statements.
So he would sexually abuse you,
mm-hmm.
and then he would ignore you for a period of time after.
Yeah.
And that's what would make you feel like you were guilty.
Yeah.
Not the act. It's having that power over someone when they were little, a little girl. And you've got a little girl now at the same age, and I just don't know how you can.
No. But also making me feel like it was my fault.
Mm.
Like he fell in love with me. Do you know, he fell in love with me. That's what, I love you, I love you. Yeah. It's hard, isn't it?
Mm.
It is hard.
Especially when, it's the first time you're talking about it now. And
yeah, we're telling the world.
Yeah, that's it. And how do you cope with that?
Yeah, well, it's fine, because normally I don't think about it. Like, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's only like when the mental abuse. It's not sexual, it's not anything like that, it's the mental.
It's fine. You don't need to be sorry for anything. It's when you have a conversation like this in this kind of environment, it does evoke more emotion.
I think it's because I'm telling the world, isn't it? Well, whoever wants to listen.
Mm.
I haven't told no one, and then all of a sudden I'm telling everyone.
Yeah. No, it's full on. We can go as fast and slow as you want, and we'll move on from it as well at some point. But
no,
I just wanted.
No. I'm happy to talk about
it. And schooling was all right, was it?
Yeah. Well.
Was it like a? Sorry, go on.
Just a normal school. Do you know? I wouldn't, well, sometimes I wouldn't go.
Yeah.
Skive off, do you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you tell friends about it?
No. No one. No one knew.
It's that fucking cliche, isn't it?
How can people not know? Like, yeah.
Do you have a lot of, I don't think hate's the right word.
No, I don't hate him. No, I don't hate him. I pity him.
Mm.
Because I look at my life now. And I know what type of life he's leading now.
Mm.
Do you know? So, yeah, no. I'm laughing.
Mm.
Yeah. But it's the mental that still gets me.
Mm.
And that, we'll come on to Sean in a bit, but yeah.
Let's come on to Sean now. Mm. So you started in a relationship with him when you was about 14.
15-ish,
15,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was just a childhood relationship,
mm-hmm.
wasn't it?
Yeah, it knocked on the door one night. You coming out?
Did he?
Oh, yeah.
Looks like romantic.
Yeah.
And I suppose you've been with him ever since, really.
Yeah.
You know,
I think we have had breaks in between when we were younger.
Yeah.
We did, okay. But probably got back together when we were about 19.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we were kids are kids, when you're that age, it's you're going out exploring and doing bits and pieces, aren't you? And
yeah.
He joined the army young as well,
yeah.
And he was out and
yeah.
doing his training. But then you ended up in Paderborn with Sean, didn't you?
Yeah.
Not married, though.
No. We bought a little flat. No, we didn't buy it. We rented a little flat together to see if we could live together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it went all right.
Did you feel safe with him? Because you'd been in an environment where you hadn't felt safe for mm-hmm. a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he kind of came along, didn't he, and took me away.
Is that what it was like?
Yeah, do you know? And I still remember when I told Sean. I told him everything that had gone on. And then, so he did live with my nana for a little bit. I did. And then I went over on a holiday to see my mum. And that's when Sean came knocking. Because he was in phase one then.
Right.
And he'd found out that I was home and hadn't seen me since he was in school. And knocked on the door and said, hey, are you coming out? So yeah, I went out with Sean and that then.
Because you're only 3 months apart, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
In age.
Yeah.
So you're the same school age and all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
So then fast forward a bit. So he then joins the Royal Engineers, goes to Hamel.
I then moved back to Germany, probably still while he's in training, because I've decided that that's it, I'm going to be with Sean.
And then you got the flat with Sean. You know, but let's move, you know, it's going to be, we're going to have to move around and stuff, but.
Yeah, so I got the flat with Sean.
He's then in the Royal Engineers
in
Hamel.
He's Engineers in Hamel, yes, he's commuting.
Yeah.
The daily commute.
From Paderborn to Hamel.
Paderborn to Hamel, yeah, about an hour.
About an hour.
Yeah.
And then he recap badges to the PWRR in Biker Barracks in Paderborn.
Yeah.
So he could be, I suppose, did he choose his infantry battalion to be there?
Yeah, no, I think he always wanted to be infantry.
Yeah.
When he joined up, but I think he was a bit too young. So I think he just went with whoever was there.
Yeah.
And he wasn't going to go to the other infantry battalion there.
Yeah.
Because they're Northern.
All right.
Well, we all know about Northerners, don't we?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And what was army life like then, being, because you were young, free and single?
I was very young, yeah. Yeah, partying, going out. Anybody that's lived in Germany knows what the party life's like in Germany. Yeah, partying all the time. We're having a good time.
Yeah. And did you settle into it? Because you were detached a little bit from the community as such. Because
I'm not married to him at this point.
Yeah.
See, you're not an army wife, are you? You're just... Well, I'm not even a dependent of Sean.
Why did you get married?
Because he's going to Afghanistan. And if we didn't get married... I was pregnant.
Mm.
I was about 5 months pregnant with Dad. Mm. And if we didn't get married, then... I couldn't go down as his next of kin, so if he got injured or if he died in Afghan, then I wouldn't have been informed.
What was your relationship like before Afghan? Well, the second Afghan, because he'd been before
the engineers,
but it was the September, the 2007 tour that we're referring to now. What was your relationship like before that?
Yeah, it was good. I think it was just typical teenage relationship.
Yeah, okay.
You know, we'd argue, we'd have nothing major, just a drunken argument.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, back to normal.
Just good fun.
Yep, yeah.
Your first child was born on the 11th of September.
Yeah.
What was that kind of pregnancy like? What was the... Because you'd gone from this party lifestyle kind of thing, and then you'd gone...
I really struggled, actually, I think. I really struggled to be sitting at home pregnant while Sean was still going out living that lifestyle.
Mm.
Yeah, anybody that knows me back then will know, like, I'd probably still go out to the pub.
Yeah, yeah.
And party when I was pregnant. I would never do it now, but I think when I was younger, I did go to the pub a few times when I was pregnant.
You're still young and stupid,
I know,
really.
Completely, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So pregnancy then?
Yeah.
So especially that kind of third trimester, you know, when you're going into that and you know he's going.
Yeah.
What's the feelings like?
Well, you're hormonal, aren't you? Mm. But, you know, like, I've got this massive bump in front of me. And I think, because I was brought up in that lifestyle, you kind of get used to he's going away.
Mm.
Like, it becomes normal. And it doesn't really register until he's gone. Or he's going that night. And then you're like, oh, shit. I'm on my own now. So, yeah, I don't remember it being, like, worrying that it was building up.
Yeah. Did he disassociate himself from you as well?
Yeah, that's what he does. And I think a lot of people do. They distance themselves from each other. I suppose you stop. Yeah, you do. You distance yourself because you know that he's going away for 7 months.
Mm.
And I'm not going to see him.
Is that either because you've got the little one that's just born?
Yeah, well, she was 3 weeks old.
And he left.
When he went. Because he had to stay longer because I had a cesarean.
Yeah.
And I was really poorly. So, yeah, he got stayed back a little bit longer. I can't remember whether that they put his R&R on that time.
Yeah, but he had a little bit more time.
Yeah,
anyway.
He had a little bit more time.
And then he joined his battalion back in Afghan. And didn't leave you, but you were left in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Was you back, like, no family around you at this point?
No, completely on my own. Friends, though.
Unless she was on your own.
Yeah.
Did you settle into motherhood then?
I think so. she's still alive.
Yeah, that's it. I think, you know, I've got children and it's like the joke is like, well, another day, you know, they've survived. I've got them through it, especially that first bit because you don't have a clue what's going on.
No.
You have no idea, especially for you, like, because from you know, from the dad point of view, it's different. You know, you've got the breastfeeding to deal with and the hormones and then the C-section.
Yeah.
That brings a whole new level of
and not just that,
problems and all the rest of it.
Your body changing.
Mm.
My body didn't look like what it looked like before. After.
Yeah, yeah.
I put on 5 stone and then I had a cesarean, trust me.
Yeah.
I think I was glad Sean was going away.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, let's be serious. So yeah, I was in hospital for 3 weeks. And I couldn't actually, I had to lie flat due to complications during pregnancy. So Sean did all the changing the nappy the first time and things like, you know, he looked after her. He did all that in the hospital because she stayed in with me as well. So yeah, he did well.
But then that 6 months when he's away.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah.
Awful. I've got to do it on my own. Every sleepless night.
Yeah.
Do you know, there was none of this, oh, let's wait for Sean to come home from work so he can take over.
Yeah.
Because it just didn't come. Do you know? So you become hardened, I suppose. You become, oh. But then I'm not the only one in that situation.
Yeah.
I know.
We've had this conversation.
Mm.
It's not about, you don't compare yourself
with
other people because it's irrelevant. The stuff you're going through and been through, don't think that someone else is having it worse than you.
Yeah.
Because you've gone through it, you know what I mean? And being a young girl in Germany, living past what you've been through and now dealing with another little life where you've got to create that kind of like lioness kind of
I've
presence around it.
Responsible.
Exactly. For the first time in many ways. And so that 6 months then, with a little baby, was you getting out and about and still seeing your friends?
Yeah, when I could finally walk.
Of course, yeah.
and still going out, still seeing friends.
What was the welfare like in the military? Was you getting looked after for the bit with the baby? Was midwives coming round or anything?
The midwives come round.
Yeah.
And then you go to your appointments in the med centre, see the midwife, health visitor.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what the health visitor.
So yes, there was some support.
Yeah, you still have
professional
the
support
around.
For
yeah.
you, yeah.
Yeah.
To give you guidance and stuff. And like you said, like with breastfeeding and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What was Sean like when he came back from R&R? What was your feelings around it? Was you looking forward to
him
coming
back? Well,
no,
he got injured. So
of course he did, yeah.
Darcy had been, she was, probably about 7 weeks old.
Mm.
7, 8 weeks old. And I just got a phone call one morning, really early actually. Of Sean, and I was like, oh yeah, and he was like, just ringing to let you know I'm all right. I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't know anything. And I was like, oh, that's good then. And he was like, I'm just on the surgeon's phone from the office, not from the hospital. And I'm like, oh, what are you doing in the hospital? He was like, oh, do you not know? I was like, no. He's like, yeah, a couple of days ago, I got hit by an ID. And he said, I've had a few operations. I just kind of made a joke. And I went, yeah, but we still got your willy. Because we can lose anything else as long as you've still got your willy. Because what else are you meant to say?
Yeah. And is that that's the first time, so welfare hadn't been in touch with you?
And nobody had told me. Not one person. I think it happened about 2-3 days before. And not one welfare person had rang me up to tell me that Sean had been injured.
Hmm.
And that he was having operations.
Why? Because looking after you? What was the reason why?
I don't know. So I did go into the welfare afterwards because he was getting flown back to Selly-York. So then I had to go back as well. And Darcy didn't have a passport. Being in Germany, everything takes longer.
Mm.
So she didn't have a passport. She didn't have a birth certificate yet, nothing.
Mm.
So that the welfare were good there because they went to Dusseldorf, you know, and got her a passport and did everything they were meant to do to fly me back. But apparently because some brigadier... I know some guy sitting behind the desk, pen pusher, hadn't released some authorisation for the welfare to let me know.
Hmm.
They couldn't tell me. So they all knew.
Yeah, but
you know, they're all sitting there in this welfare and they all know, but none of them were allowed to tell me.
Hmm. You flew back to Selly-York?
I did go back, yeah.
I
took the world with me.
Yeah, 500 bags.
Yeah.
And a pram.
I didn't know what I needed. I had everything.
Yeah. Sterilising stuff.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, you name it. Because I got put in like this little room. It was like a little flat.
At Selly-York?
Yeah, at Selly-York,
okay.
With other wives whose husbands have been injured.
Yeah.
And yeah, got there.
Was you concerned with Sean or was it just all about the baby still?
Both. I don't know how bad he is now. He's laid in this hospital.
Mm.
He just rang me.
No, I'm on about... Although that is relevant, what you just said there. What I meant was when you were there in Selly-York, you know, for a...
Mm-hmm.
You weren't there for too long, was you? But
A week.
Was you concerned with Sean's welfare or was it all about you and the little one? And he was there and you was going to see him.
Yeah.
But he was fine.
Yeah, he was fine, yeah. So I just had to look after me.
Yeah.
And Darcy. And I got, like, little food tokens and...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that almost changed it, because when you came back to Germany, it was like having... I mean, Sean spoke about it.
Yeah.
Is where you had two babies in the house.
Yeah,
one massive
yeah.
baby and one...
Yeah.
One tiny yeah. baby.
And let's think, I'm about 9 weeks post-op of a yeah, cesarean yeah. as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Having to get up and do it all and still be in pain.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, it's... Because it happened pretty soon. Sean had only been out there about 3-4 weeks, from what I remember, when he got injured and he came back.
Mm.
So I had to do everything, because he couldn't move. Do you know? So I had to do everything for him.
When he was back in Germany.
When I was back,
so
yeah.
And he had to still report into work and stuff.
Yeah, I had to take him into work.
Yeah.
I take him to his physio appointments,
to
anything that he had to go to.
Do you feel any pressure on you at this point? Or at the time, can you remember back? Or was it just normal, like that was what was going on?
You just crack on, don't you? You can't...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just part of everyday life.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
He wanted to go back, didn't he?
He did want to go back, yeah.
Have you ever felt, in all the stuff he's done, have you ever... Did you ever feel like second best, or did you feel like his priorities were correct? It was the right decision for him to go back. You were happy for him to leave because he needed to be there. That was his job.
Yeah, he had to go back for his own mind. Do you know, his boys were out there.
Yeah.
His friends were out there fighting, and he wasn't there to help them.
You though.
Yeah.
Was you happy? Yeah. Did you ever feel like you wanted him there with you?
Yeah.
Did you want him to go back after he got injured?
No, not so for me. Obviously, I wanted him there because he did get better whilst he was home.
Yeah.
So it was easier, you know, because he could do Darcy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I could just nip to the shop without having to spend an hour getting ready to go to the shop. And so, yeah, of course, I wanted him home. I wanted him to stay.
To be that family.
Yeah.
It's a normal family, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That was Herrick 9.
Yeah.
Was it Herrick 9? Yeah. That was Herrick 9, wasn't it? And
he was only back out there when he went for a couple of months.
And then he came back again.
He came back.
What was the change?
Oh, he was awful. He was drinking all the time. Didn't want to spend time with me and Daz. Just wanted to go out and party. Socialise with the boys that he'd just spent all his time with. And in my mind, I was like, well, why don't you want to spend time with me? Do you know, why don't you want to spend time with Darcy? You haven't seen her. You don't know anything about her, really.
Mm.
Do you know, she's crawling now. She's... And, yeah, it's like he wasn't bothered.
Did it upset you?
Yeah, yeah. I think it would upset anyone. But, yeah, it upset me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Was he still... Because... You know, this community, especially the wives and husbands, and especially in this period of time, you know, these guys are like really war fighting in between tours, getting trained up.
Yeah.
All the time. Did you ever, in between all that, in between these kind of courses and he's drinking, out there socialising, but he's still been a professional soldier, but not been a great husband at this point.
Yeah.
Did you ever speak to him about his drinking or what happened in Afghan or anything like that? Was you chatting to him about this?
Yeah. Not necessarily what happened in Afghan, really, but definitely speaking about him drinking, the way that he was behaving, the way he was going on. Almost feeling like, well, I'm still alone. I'm still a lone parent, if you like.
Yeah.
You might be here, but I'm still doing it all on my own. And I'm still young.
Mm.
I'm still really young and I can't go out because Sean's out.
Mm.
And, like, we can't socialise together.
Mm.
One, he was always drinking.
Yeah.
And two, I've got a baby now. Do you know? So, yeah, there's a lot of pressure.
What was his reaction to that then?
Nothing. It was like he wasn't bothered. Or he would be like, oh, yeah, I'm really, really sorry. Do you know? Let's spend this weekend in. And then it would come to Saturday and he'd get a text and he'd be itching to go out. And it was almost like he wanted to, like, can I go out? Like, ask him permission if he could go out. Like, and I'm like, Sean, you're a grown up. If you want to go out, go out. but what about me?
Yeah, yeah.
And what about Darcy?
Yeah.
You know, and then you get violent. Well, you've already talked about this with Sean, haven't we?
Well, go on. Well, when did the violence start?
Yeah, when he got back then, and he wasn't even drunk, neither, but, like, he grabbed me around the throat, and he had me, like, up off the floor.
Why?
Because we were just having, like, a play fight, like, it wasn't even nothing serious, and he just flipped. He just completely flipped, got hold of me, had me by the throat. Like, I was actually, like, choking.
Yeah.
And he was completely gone. It was like he didn't realise it was me. It was like he didn't know what he was doing. Yeah. Not nice, is it?
Like a switch?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was he remorseful after?
Yeah.
In what way?
I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to do it. And I just said to him, you need to get help. Not just for you, but for me.
Yeah.
And for Darcy. And for our family, like, if you want to have a family, you need to get help.
Mm.
Do you know? And he did.
Was that the first time he went
for help? Yeah, that was the first time that he went. Yeah, he went for some help.
And what was it? Because of the kind of act of violence or whatever?
Yeah, because of just lots of things, like him ignoring me. Like, he would sit there, whether, I don't know, if he was feeling a bit depressed or whatever, I don't know. Hangover, whatever you want to call it.
This was post?
Yeah.
His second Afghan, mm-hmm. was it?
Yeah.
That's when it started, yeah.
He would, like, start to ignore me. And then I would be like, well, what have I done wrong?
Yeah.
And living on eggshells almost, because I felt like I'd done something wrong to him. I hadn't. But, yeah. So all of it is just...
And did he know then that... Because you'd said you'd spoke to him about everything that had happened as a kid.
Yeah, he knows everything that happened to me. He knows.
And he knows that was one of your...
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of pain mm-hmm. points as such that being ignored.
And even now, he still does it sometimes. And now I don't sit in silence now. Now I'll say to him, why are you doing it? You know what it does to me. So why would you do it? And he's like, well, that's your problems.
But it's significant, isn't it? Your childhood and your feelings around how Sean was behaving and mm-hmm. His mental state was affecting your mental state as well, whether it's purposeful or not.
Yeah.
You know, you remove the violence for a second, just the mental kind of torment of it.
Yeah.
Had you heard the expression PTSD at this point? Did you understand what that was?
No. No. I think it just become normal behaviour.
Mm.
Like, it become normal that he would go out, he would get drunk, he would let me down. Do you know, if he would... meant to have Darcy or we were going to go swimming or whatever as a family, he would just stay out all hours, not come home till like 8, 9 o'clock the next day. Sometimes couldn't go to work. When I did go back to work, I couldn't go to work because he was always out and he was never home, just drinking.
Selfish.
Yeah, very, yeah. And how would you explain that to my employer? Oh, I'm really sorry. My husband got drunk again. I can't come into work again.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm really sorry, I can't come into work because he got into a fight and he said his nose broken, so I have to take him to the hospital, which I did a few times. Do you know, it all affects my life.
What was day-to-day like? Because we've really focused in on getting pissed and being out with the lads. What I'm not trying to do is find an excuse for anything.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
But I just want to get behind it. Like, was it always shit?
No. Not always. Like, it's normal routine life.
Yeah.
Do you know, he didn't drink every night.
Yeah.
Just 4 out of 7.
Was it?
Yeah, like, weekend starts on a Thursday, do you know?
Hmm.
But yeah, not a normal life, I think. Just what your normal people do. You get up, you get ready, you go to work.
What normal people don't do is deploy to Afghan for the third time in September 2011.
Yeah.
So he went September. Your second child was born in the November.
Yeah.
Was that a decision you both made for that to happen?
Yeah.
For him not to come back?
Yeah.
And to come back, I think it was at the Christmas.
Christmas time, yeah. Yeah, because I think it's more special, isn't it? We've got Darcy now, she's... 3 almost four, and I think it's more special for her to have Daddy home at Christmas. So, yeah, we decided that I would do the birth on my own.
Yeah.
And that he would come back then at Christmas Eve and I.
This is when he won the military cross, but yeah. You almost need a military cross or a maternity cross. Yeah.
Wives need medals.
Amanda Jones MC maternity cross.
Yeah, the wives need a medal, not these men, these guys.
I'm just like, what the fuck? Doing it by myself, I'll birth by myself, and then I'll see you in a few months.
Yeah.
We've talked about feelings a lot. You've got a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
You've now got a newborn.
Yeah. Very difficult.
Three-year-old and a newborn, I mean.
Very difficult. And I have got all these people around me, but you feel alone completely.
How long did it take you to kind of get back into the, I suppose, the groove of it, really? Did you? And also,
it took me a long time.
Did it?
Yeah.
Because the routine's been shattered, hasn't it?
Yeah. And he wasn't easy, Elliot. He really wasn't. He literally cried from the minute he woke up to the minute he went to sleep. He had like 2 hours broken night's sleep every night. He had colics. It was really bad. And anyone that was around me at the time, I've got close friends that were there for me, will know. Like, all of us were like, what is wrong with this child? He literally cried. And ultimately, I'm the one that's there all day with this little newborn baby crying, screaming. The pressures of breastfeeding. I still remember it in the kitchen. I'm breastfeeding one. I'm cooking Darcy's tea in the other hand. Do you know, I've got the pan on. She's running around, mummy, I need a drink. I've got Elliot.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
I need a poo, I need a drink. I want to do this, I want to do that,
And like, even me, if I need to go to the toilet or a shower, well, yeah. You don't get a chance, do you?
So there was no real self-care during this period. Was it easier?
Sitting there with this baby in his carrier while I'm on the toilet.
Yeah.
In the shower.
Yeah. I mean, that is no different to what mums do.
Yeah, everyone does it, yeah.
But it's the relentlessness of it. It's and it's that you've got their dad, your husband is away in Afghanistan. Uh-huh. It's an incredible... for him as well, it was a full-on tour. Mm-hmm. So you've got that worry. Mm-hmm. You've got army life as it is as well. You're probably fatigued.
Very.
You know, chronic fatigue is serious. It plays on your temper and all sorts of things. But was it better being by yourself at this point than having Sean there if he was going to get pissed up all the time?
Yeah.
It's only because we've had a conversation before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. I used to look forward to Sean going away. I used to be like, do you want me to pack your bag for you? Do you know? See you later. My marriage has probably survived this long because he went away.
Mm.
The army makes a marriage or breaks it. Do you know? The going away probably made mine for as long as it has.
But also the going away causes a lot of the issues as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's strange. Because when he's away and he's out drinking and he's partying, even though he should be working...
Mm.
And again, I'm still at home with these children, looking after them. And but yeah, I'd rather him go away than have been there.
I think he said something to me when he came back. When he came back for R&R, that you didn't look great when you just basically handed them over to him on the doorstep.
I still remember it. He came in the door. It wasn't a hello, how are you? I got Elliot. I passed him Elliot. I went, I fucking hate him. I says, get him away from me. I don't want him near me. I don't want to see him. I don't even want him. Just fucking take him. Like, literally. And that was it. It was really hard, really. People would say to me, how are you doing? I'd be in the shop and I'd literally burst into tears. I was so tired. I was so exhausted. It was really hard.
Was it postnatal depression or was it...
Maybe.
Or was it
I think it was jealousy. Fatigue. Yeah, I think it was probably more that. And no matter what I did, he didn't stop crying.
Yeah.
Constantly.
The stress on your body.
And he always wanted to be held as well. Yeah. Always.
And what it becomes is the easy option then, doesn't it? The easy option is to pick him, to try and get some relief short term.
Yeah.
It increases the problem long term as well, quite often, doesn't it? You know, that I'm no health. expert, but I've got experience in it. And
just a little bit.
And especially if you can't pass them on to someone, mm-hmm. the importance of that, being able to go, give me an hour.
Yeah, that is all you need.
Let me go for a walk the dog. Mm-hmm. Let me go to the gym. Mm-hmm. Let me go just lay down and close my eyes without worrying about someone. I take my hat off, though, because it's...
And I had a dog. I had to look after a dog and all. Honestly.
What dog?
A little
dog.
Shih Tzu.
Was it?
Sure, yeah, it was a shit, isn't it? Well, it was,
yeah.
And, I still remember coming out of hospital 48 hours after giving birth, I am pushing Elliot in the pram, Darcy on her little trike thing, walking this dog, and I'm in agony, like, do you know what I mean?
Just
giving birth. And there was nobody there around me to do it. So I had to
How often was you speaking to Sean at this point?
Oh, God. Not often. They don't get long, do they, on their phone card? Like 20 minutes? Something daft like
week,
that, is it?
A week, like
Yeah. And I think most of it was probably spent me mourning at him. Do you know, Elliot, don't stop crying. Yeah.
Offloading.
Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? Because when he's away, he's got that purpose of what he's doing and how he's doing it. Whereas at home, it can just, I'm just assuming like this, but it can just feel like this day, this drag, relentless.
Mm-hmm.
When's it gonna end?
And he would be like, oh, why have you not sent me a parcel?
Because
you can send these parcels out, can't you? Food and that and that. Why have you not sent me one? All the boys are receiving them and I'm not getting any. Well, hang on a fucking minute.
Do you know? Yeah. Did you ever think at just kind of... Because, being away and... I'm just going to word this right because I don't want to, again... Because I know Sean and we've done one an episode. But did you ever feel like leaving?
All the time.
Hmm. And why did you stay?
I don't know. Then I think I was just young and almost felt like I needed him. I have nowhere to go. I have no family. I have nowhere to go. Do you know? I've got two children now, not just one. You have to stay, I think.
That's what you felt?
At the time, yeah.
Did you have good friends?
Yeah, really good friends.
Mm.
Yeah. And I still have these friends now.
Mm.
Do you know, even though I'm living in England now. Yeah, I still have them. But yeah, I think... I had to stay with him. And he saved me, remember? He took me away.
Mm.
So that's what I felt at the time. Maybe I owed him that, to stay.
It's honest of you to say, these things.
Yeah,
it's like...
Yeah.
Did he get better or worse when he came back from Afghan?
He
won the military cross.
Yeah.
He'd done a lot of stuff. There was a lot of stuff going on there. He's
a bit older now, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know? And he's a few ranks higher, I think. So I think it become... He's in the mess now, if I remember rightly. Or he's just gone into... So I think it's more socialising than the mess now.
Yeah.
I think Corporal's mess, I think he was in.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think he went away and done...
I think he came and then he went and did...
And then he went
away
again,
He was a bit of a poster boy, but he'd been messing about. He'd been still getting pissed.
Getting arrested.
I think he got his sergeant in 2013, so he was probably in the Corporal's mess at this point. But a senior Corporal,
I suppose,
well respected.
It became like a running joke of, oh, Sean John's going to get arrested tonight.
Yeah.
Like, everybody, probably even now... Do you know, if there was all to go out, they'd all be like, are you getting arrested tonight, Sean?
Woody met up with him in I think the Union Jack Club a while ago.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if it was Woody or Sean I spoke to, and he said, it was the joke, don't get arrested. When Woody watched, don't get arrested tonight, like a joke.
Yeah, it is a joke. But it's funny, isn't it? But it's not funny.
Not for a family life. And what was it like then? Was you embarrassed?
Yeah.
Because he's the poster boy of the regiment, the battalion, sorry, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's won the military cross. You're probably getting smoke blown up his backside, left, right and centre. But at home it's different and you felt...
Yeah. He was, I suppose, always getting angry, real snappy with the kids, you know? Like real short-tempered, drinking.
Violent with the kids?
Violent? No, never. No, he's never, ever with the kids. just a short temper. Do you know, you'd have a go at them all the time for little tiny things, not even like massive things, just small things. And then, yeah, you'd be going away again. So I've got the kids.
Was you dealing with it well, like this, with the kids? Because you, from your childhood, and although it's totally different, right, this is not on the same league of what you had to go through, but you must have still felt like you wanted to look after him, and if you, especially if he's on a bit of a slippery slope, did you ever like jump in front of him? Like, did you, what was your feel? I don't think I'm articulating it very well, but what was your feelings around if he shouted at them, for example, or snapped at them?
Oh yeah, I'd tell him.
Yeah,
I'd be saying, like, Sean, you need to stop. Like, they've done nothing wrong to you. But I think when it happens all the time, you kind of just get sick of it. Sick of the arguing. So you kind of just let it go. Like, it would happen that often. And I used to, where I work, because I used to work on camp as well, I used to see, like, the young soldiers from Peterborough. And I used to always say, oh, my husband's Peterborough, do you know? And it'd be like, oh, who is he? And then I stopped. Because I could tell that he was getting worse in work. Do you know, and he was getting like aggressive in work towards people and shouting at them all the time. And do you know, so almost embarrassed to say, oh, my husband's whoever he is. Do you know, just because I know what he was like. He was getting worse.
Yeah. He, amongst all this though, was you ever proud to be with him? Because we said we were embarrassed there, but was there any points where you were like...
Certain points, yeah, I've been proud of him. Yeah, certain points.
At this stage?
Yeah, because I think I probably knew he was getting his military cross at this stage.
Yeah.
When he told me. Oh yeah, so I was proud of that. Not proud of the person he was becoming and who he was, like.
You
proud of his achievements rather than proud of what or who he was at that time.
There was still some domestic violence going on, and that kind of was... That was around, and it wasn't every day. It was fairly sporadic, and often followed with a lot of remorse and crying and all the rest of it. And again, I'm not sticking up for that. I'm not condoning that behaviour in any way, shape, or form. But you move back to the UK, and it's well documented that he planned his suicide several times, and the holiday in Croatia was go on.
I was really looking forward to that holiday. So I've left Germany. I've left my comfort blanket because I've lived there a long time. Left my job, my friends, my whole entire life. I've left for Sean.
Yeah.
Do you know, and it's always been the same. My life has been around his life and his career and everything for him. So I've left thinking, right, okay, maybe a fresh start will do us good, because from 2014 onwards, it really wasn't good. It was really bad. Really, really bad. I'm thinking, right, okay, maybe a fresh start. Let's see what happens. Went on holiday in Croatia. I'm a really outgoing social person, you know, like having a laugh and a drink and a chat with my friends. And he was sitting in the corner by the pool, silent, completely silent, not speaking to anyone really, especially not me. So again, my mind's going, what have I done wrong to him? What can I do to help him? And at what point should I look after me? Do you know, when do I turn out?
Kids with you?
Yeah, kids there. Do you know, they've got friends, because all our friends have got children, so we're all playing together. And
was he interacting with the kids?
Not really, no, just sitting there. Yeah, just sitting there. I mean, I later found out what he was feeling on that holiday. But yeah, he completely ruined it for me. And I think probably everybody else as well. And I think it was like the last day of the holiday. I think I said to him, that's it. I can't do it anymore.
And you split up for a bit?
Yeah, we kind of did, but we come back because we just moved back to Kent. So I was living in Hythe. So like we were living there. Didn't know anyone. I didn't know anyone. He didn't know anyone. And all of a sudden, when we got back, he just went downhill. Like, he was crying all the time. He was begging me to get him help. And I was like, whoa, what's going on? Like, I know he's always had problems, but all of a sudden, he's now got real problems.
Mm.
Do you know, he's no longer just being this person who is taking his anger out on everybody else and going out drinking, and he's now got serious mental problems in his head. He can't sleep. He's having nightmares. Do you know, he's knocking on doctors' doors. He's begging for help. And it was almost like he kept getting turned away. Like, and any time he did get any help, he kept getting different psychiatrists, so he kept having to explain his story.
Mm.
He got fed up of keep having to explain his story because it was just bringing these nightmares up. It was making him worse and worse and worse. Yeah, it was real, real hard. And I'm the whole time sitting there. No family, no friends, no job.
Did you have any understanding what was going on?
No. No, I don't think
I did. Because you had, I mean, it's easy to go, well, you should have gone and Googled it. You should have gone for help. But actually, if he's getting knocked away, what support is there for the wives with this kind of situation?
None.
And,
well,
yeah, it's minimal. And actually, the understanding of things and the process, like going from A to Z, like, where do we have to be with this? These are the issues. These are the symptoms are coming out of him. You know, this is the nightmares. And when he planned and when he went away to do it, to kill himself, which we spoke about.
Yeah.
It was you that had to drive around.
And, yeah, I had to go and find him.
Was you by yourself in the car?
No, I got the children with me. We had to go and find him. I kind of had a feeling that I knew what he was going to go and do. And like when he was gone for a couple of hours, I was like, right, okay.
Why did you go find him? Why didn't you call the police? I
don't know.
Because you had to look after him?
Yeah. Still look after him now.
Yeah.
But I think when I was in Hive, like, I'm living on this little military patch. There's, like, 10 houses. And every day we'd walk the kids to school with, like, the other wives. And all their husbands are in work, doing work stuff.
Mm.
And then you've got Sean, who's now grown a beard.
Mm.
Do you know? And he's walking every day with us to school. And I could see them looking like, well, why isn't he in work?
Mm.
And it's kind of like an embarrassment. That's going to sound really bad. I think I was almost embarrassed that he's suffering from PTSD.
Mm.
I'm not now. Oh, my God, tell Lowell now. But last year, when he was really bad, I was embarrassed that he was suffering the way he was suffering.
I mean, the kids would have been... Imagine if he'd have done it. The kids would have just been... it'd have ruined them.
Mm. We'd split up, though. We went together at this point.
But still in the same house?
We're still living in the same house, yeah, because he'd had mental problems and he wasn't allowed to be around.
Yeah, go on.
Oh.
Come on.
Yeah, he wasn't allowed to be around, like, army life, so he wasn't allowed to be in the mess on camp, so he had to stay in the house.
Yeah.
With us, yeah.
When he went, you found him?
Yeah. He was a mess.
Was you expecting to find him dead?
I don't know what I was expecting. I just thought, I need to get in that car. I need to drive around this little town. Mm. And I need to find him. And yeah, I found him and he was just a mess. He is getting help now.
What was the kids, sorry, just go back to that, what was the kids' like reaction when they found it? Did they express any kind of concern with the
sleep?
Hi,
Daddy, what have you been up to?
Really?
Where have you been?
The innocence of
it. Yeah, they still even now don't have a clue. You know, try and keep it as normal as I can for them. But I have said to him, I said, if you're going to do it again, I think it's very selfish, whether you've got problems or whatever. So I've just said, if you're going to do it again, I just want one thing from you. I don't want any letters or anything like that. I want you to sit them both down. And I want you to tell both your children that you're going to go and kill yourself and say bye to them. He just looked at me, almost like I've just slapped him across the face.
Mm.
Because why should I have to pick up that?
Mm.
Just because his heartache ends doesn't mean that it doesn't... He's going to just transfer the pain onto other people. So if you're man enough to kill yourself, be man enough to sit them down and tell them.
What was his reaction?
He just looked at me. Yeah.
It's a sobering...
It's a very...
It's
yeah.
a sobering... ultimatum, really. You know, if you're going to do it, don't be... Live up to it.
Yeah. I suppose is it a cowardly act? I don't know.
I don't. Me personally, if you that's a question to me. I don't believe it's cowardly.
Yeah.
I really don't. I believe it's selfish. I think
yeah.
I think Sean will agree as well on that. But it affects a lot of people.
Yeah.
And those two little ones would have been affected more than anybody else. Right. Immediately growing up, and
that my daddy didn't love me enough to fight it and stay.
I've got mates it's happened to, and it's only when they're in their 30s where they've gone, maybe this guy had problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my dad killed himself. Not mine, but one of my really close friends. And it's only recently where we've talked about it, where it's been like, he must have loved, but he thought it was better just to go. And in that act, it created a lot of pain for other people. And
he's getting better, though. He is getting better.
Go on then. So
yeah, he is.
He went, he went after this, he went to help. He went for help.
Yes.
Ended up in a psychiatric ward.
He did, yeah. He was asking for help, and they were moving him from different psychiatrists constantly. He was having to retell his story. He was waiting for ages for appointments, and when he'd call up and they would say, sorry, you're not a priority. And he would be like, well, why am I not a priority? Well, because you're still alive.
Yeah.
Basically, is what he got told. So yeah, he did get very angry, didn't he? And he did go to the papers. It's out there now, isn't it? He did what he did. But now we've moved. We live in Shrewsbury.
Mm.
And yeah, he goes every week. Every week.
Mm.
And he speaks to Claire, I think her name is.
Mm. It's this last year since going into the psychiatric ward, have you seen an improvement almost week on week?
Yeah, big improvement. Some weeks we go backwards.
Yeah.
It's almost like we go backwards when he came back from his jolly.
Yeah.
He was really backwards.
Yeah.
But yeah, he is. Baby steps, isn't it?
Yeah. You started using the term we go backwards a lot there, and it's such a nice thing to hear that you and him are going forward, and we as a family are going forward, and we sometimes go back. Do you feel like you're equipped to kind of help him more now? Do you understand what PTSD is? Do you understand? Does he talk to you about what's going on?
Yeah, so it's to do with the mind, isn't it? And how the mind processes information. It needs to put it in certain orders and things like that.
Yeah.
So like we have talked about it. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But we have talked about it. And I think all I can do is just be there for him.
Yeah.
Be there for him. If he needs to tell me anything, he'll tell me. Do you know? But what I do now, if he's been a dickhead, I tell him he's been a dickhead.
Mm.
I'm not quiet anymore, I don't take it for the arguments. Like, the other day I went for an appointment and he was being a knob. And I said, you tell Claire to sort you out before you come on.
Because
I ain't putting up with your shit anymore.
Mm.
You know, like...
But it's
I have to find the fun in it as well. Like, I can't always be serious, can I?
No, you're at a point now where it is... And I know this, and I feel like I'm speaking for you a lot on this. And I hope for not. I just want to guide you in the right direction. And is that you're at a point where it's safer? You feel secure, right? You know, like daddy is home for the kids.
Yeah.
And your husband is almost back, or at least going in the right direction.
Yeah.
What's the future hold for the Joneses?
He just needs to get better first.
Mm.
Before we decide on what future, if any, that we have. Yeah.
Recovery's key now.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah.
And as much as he's a family man and he's there for the kids every day and he does everything, you know, he cleans the house, he does everything like that, ultimately, he just needs to get better.
Mm.
And then I'll decide what I need to do when he's better.
Well, I wish, you know, you've...
It does get better, though, doesn't it?
His attitude's... I can't relate to the person, just on a personal level. I can't relate. I cannot relate to that person that you're talking about, you know,
now I
me
know.
Meeting him a few months ago and engaging him in quite a lot and having conversations with him on the phone and all this. I cannot... It's very difficult for me to link the two people. It's like chalk and cheese. And he's on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very self-aware.
Yeah,
he understood he had to take remove himself away from that trip he went on. He had to remove himself.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
He has to speak about it. He has to go for therapy. He has to be a dad and a husband. And he's very, I believe, from my experiences with him, he's very self-aware, which is again key to any kind of long-term recovery.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm his safety blanket. Like when he come home, it's like he knows that he's home and that it's safe.
Yeah.
You
need to look after yourself.
Yeah.
You need something. You've survived a hell of a lot. You know, you're an adult survivor of sexual abuse.
Yeah.
And you need to go and see someone as well, because these things that you need. And I'm just doing it as a friend. Yeah. You know, like a friend to you guys. You know.
Yeah.
And you've stood by him for a long period of time, and you're bringing your children up.
They deserve to have their dad in their lives.
Yeah.
Ultimately, we've talked about this, like, as much as he's put me through so much, they deserve to have him in their life.
Yeah.
And they're my children, and I'll do whatever they need me to do.
But you need to be happy. You need to be happy.
Yeah.
And looked after. And I mean, I think you're incredible, and you might not see it. And I think this conversation is going to help a lot of people. I think it's going to help you. I think it's going to help Sean.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd just like to say thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story.
Thanks for having me.
We'll leave it there.